you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome to ConservativeNationMedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I am your host, Kathy Henners. The number to call in if you would like to make a comment or ask a question, which I think you might want to be making comments as we go further through the evening, is 718-305-7176. Man, it's Friday again. I don't know where the time goes. But of course, if you're listening to us, you know that this is the place to be to talk about Islamists and the Muslim Brotherhood. No place else is going to be talking quite as bluntly as we have been about the Muslim Brotherhood. It's been another busy week. I don't know if the last few weeks that haven't been busy and have provided us with things to talk about. It's been crazy. So this is no exception. Before we get into some of the topics to talk about tonight, I just want to run down a programming note here that on Christmas Eve here on ConservativeNationMedia.com, there is going to be some great, great music. The old-time fashioned Christmas music is going to be on for probably 5 hours. Really, really, really beautiful music from, you know, if you remember from when you were a kid. And so that's that. And that's Christmas Eve, and then we'll be here Friday after Christmas and, of course, after New Year's. And then what will happen in January is we are going to be bringing on some great guests. We are going to be starting off the new year talking hopefully about Sharia finance and the banks that Sharia finance is in here in this country. We're going to be talking about a rather serious subject, which is female genital mutilation. Now, I know everybody's like, what? but it is a very, very serious issue, and it is taking place in this country. It is barbaric, but it is taking place in this country. So we are going to line up some experts to talk about that. And, of course, anything that happens, you know, breaking developments in the Muslim world here in our country. You got to know, the first thing I'm going to talk about, though, is what happened today. The arrest of a convert to Islam who was actually on his way to blow himself up at the airport in Wichita, Kansas. I'm sure everybody's probably heard about this by now, but it has been confirmed that he was a Muslim convert. Thankfully, the explosives were inert. They were not able to explode. The FBI had loaded his car full of, you know, fake bombs. But the idea is there that he actually used his pass to gain access to the airport and was going to blow himself up. And we're talking about Terry Lee Luan, who is a 58-year-old white man, but again, was a convert to Islam, who had been, the FBI had been following him for some time and know that he was basically working with some jihadists across the country and in other countries as well, and that his goal was to commit violent jihad against the USA. He was prepared to blow himself up. From what we understand, he has stated, and this is quote, "Let me preface the bottom line by saying I have become radicalized in the strongest sense of the word, and I don't feel Allah wants me any other way." So there we have it. The religion of peace once again had called him to violent jihad against the very country that apparently he's been in for 53 or 58 years. An idiot. Come on. You're going to blow yourself up. I mean, this is just outrageous. I haven't heard any Islamist organizations, from what I can see online, none of them have made a statement against what he was going to do. Of course, they'll come out with that, though. They'll come out with the flowery version. Oh, we all condemn, violence against people, and we're a religion of peace, all this other garbage. Get ready for that over the weekend. I'm sure that's all we're going to hear about. They're going to break it down and analyze it until you just want to jump off a bridge or throw somebody off a bridge. So that was the first story to get this night rolling here. We're always talking about Islam and how they always, say that it is religion of peace, and it's always those handful, and like any other extremist group, they do have their nut jobs and this and that. The problem is that this is what they truly believe in. So I beg to differ that it is a religion of peace. As we've talked about before, I've said I'm over calling it a religion. It is not a religion. It is a political way of life. So now that that first story is out of the way, I want to talk to you about something that is growing. Last week we ran down the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. If you were here last week, we talked about the fact that there is a law that is pending, as a matter of fact, in this country called the Defamation of Religion Law, in great length about this last week. And what we have learned this week is that there is a push. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is behind this. There's a huge push in this country to stop what they consider to be Islamophobia. There is no such thing. There is no fear of Islam. I know of no one that fears Islam. If anything, it should be called Christianophobia or Judeophobia or Mormonophobia, whatever. But there is no fear of Islam from anyone that I've ever spoken to. But the problem is that the OIC has created this law. It's going to be a federal law, which Hillary Clinton and we talked about the Homeland Security and Eric Holder all took part in this roundtable to come up with this law. So this week, the International Union of Muslim Scholars, who knew that there was an international union, it's like the International Paper Union or whatever, of Muslim scholars, which is considered to be the most prestigious group of Sunni scholars and jurists in the world. They issued a statement this past weekend imploring Muslims in America to immediately start legal action to prosecute those who offend Islam. Now, are we going to let this happen? Because it already is. And the next time that we may hear about this, there may be a statute that has snuck into the federal law book about speaking out against Islam. So that will be the largest, most vile violation of our freedom of speech. And people say, well, that won't happen. This is the United States of America. Well, I got news for you. The law is already written. It's already been done. If you want to see the law, head over to my website, dailyrollcall.com, look under documents. It's UN Resolution 1618. And the reason why I'm talking about it again this week is because you need to be hammered in the head to start talking about this. Pay attention to this law because it's there. Now, last week I read the official name of the law. I didn't memorize it. It is so long. It's like two sentences long. It's not worth it. But it's also known as the Defamation of Religion Law. So here we have this group, this Union of Muslim Scholars, that is pushing Muslims here in this country to start suing everyone and anyone that has anything to say about Islam, anything bad to say about Islam. So that's this show, that's any talk shows, that's any blogs. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, but the point is it's a true violation of our First Amendment rights, our freedom of speech, and that is blatant Sharia law that will be coming into this country even bigger and larger than it is already. So according to the statement that was released this weekend, the union calls on Muslims in America and throughout the world to take action and make claims against all those responsible and who contributed in the production of anything that has to do with speaking about Islam, and to start legal action to, get this, prosecute all those who offend Islam, because such an ugly deed should never be allowed under the banner of freedom of expression. Are you kidding me? What an idiotic thing to say. You know, we have this banner of freedom of expression, but yet you're not going to be able to talk about them because it offends them. Who cares if it offends them? You know what? The Constitution doesn't say you can't offend someone. It's not against the law. You may not like it, but you don't have to like it. I don't like what they're saying. I'm offended by them, but it doesn't matter. All right, before I get too riled up, conservativenationmedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check them out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. That's Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. All right, so doesn't get your blood boiling. I mean, I thought maybe last week when we were talking about the OIC and actually breaking down the law and talking about who, you know, was responsible for it and how we have Muslim Brotherhood members and Homeland Security. But this, I mean, they're truly, truly saying it's time to start suing. And if you know anything about CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, you got to know that they'll do it because they're doing it now. We started running down last week every little thing that they go after because they say it offends Islam. From a mascot who resembles a Middle Eastern man to a woman that said she was mistreated in a mall. I mean, you know, this is nuts, and this is happening, and we're letting it happen because we keep pushing it off. Oh, like Scarlett O'Hara. Well, we'll think about that tomorrow. Well, you know what? Tomorrow is going to be too late to think about this. So where are our political leaders? Where do they stand? Maybe it's time to start screaming at them and calling their office and saying, what are we going to do about this? We can't allow this law to take place. And, you know, the other thing that's interesting about this is it was released by and signed by Islam's leading Sharia authority, Yusuf al-Qaradawi. He's a terrorist. He is a known terrorist, but that doesn't seem to stop us from bringing him into the country or allowing his nonsense and his fatwas or his decrees or his rulings to come into this country. I think this is pretty scary stuff. You know, we're allowing this to happen. And I'll tell you, anywhere there's a Muslim, there is a problem. And, you know, I used to start out on a little bit lighter note and think, you know, keep it a little bit light, you know, don't get too involved in speaking out specifically against certain things, but this is just going beyond that. I mean, how can you not speak out against something like this? And behind all of this, and this is what, you know, the show is about, is the Muslim Brotherhood. This whole idea of freedom of expression or lack of freedom of expression is stemmed from the Muslim Brotherhood and Sharia law. And we're going to talk a little bit about Sharia law tonight, if we have time, to talk about some of the things that are already taking place in this country. If you look at the Muslim Brotherhood manifesto, which again, it's on my website, dailyrollcall.com, under documents, it's called the Muslim, I think it's It's the Muslim Manifesto. The first few pages are in Arabic, and then behind that is the English version. So you know what? While we take a break, why don't you go grab that document, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Okay, we are back on ConservativeNationMedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I'm your host, Kathy Hinners. Number to give us a call, 718-305-7176. Just so you know, the next hour we're going to be addressing, I got an email from somebody who asked, and I thought it would be a good question to pose here, will our military and law enforcement disarm their own citizens? So think about that as we go through this hour, because that could be a pretty heated topic, actually. But so what we're talking about here is the order that has come out from the Islamic scholars, oh, bright ones, I guess, regarding the OIC, which is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation Law, the Defamation of Religion Law. They now want the Muslims in America to start suing everyone for speaking out against Islam. So I would say just get in line, but, you know, maybe I'll see you in jail. I hear federal prisons are pretty cushy anyway, but you know what? This is just enough is enough. And, you know, I think that anything that anything that goes against our Constitution, and certainly this sort of ruling, is completely antithetical to our way of life and our Constitution. Are you kidding me? And I guess, you know, I hear people say all the time, you know, leave our country, get out of our country. Well, the problem is the majority of them, or a lot of them, were born in this country. So you would think that would be some sort of treason, you know, trying to rid a country of its constitution and its society in general. I'm sure that's not exactly how treason is phrased, but, you know, we'll never have that until we get rid of what we have in Washington, D.C. So we were saying how this all lines up, of course. You know, this is all backed by the Muslim Brotherhood. So if you had a chance to grab that document, you know, look at page 5 of 18 in the English part. I don't speak Arabic. I'm sure we'll end up someday having to speak it. But it's called the concept of settlement. And this is exactly what they said they were going to do, and they're doing it. And I'm not going to read the entire thing, but it says the process of settlement. And I'll just read you this real short thing. I don't like to read too much, but it says, in order for Islam and its movement to become a part of the homeland in which it lives, stable in its land, rooted in the spirits and minds of its people, enabled in the life of it, and society has firmly established organizations on which the Islamic structure is built and with which the testimony of civilization is achieved. The movement must plan and struggle to appease in the tools of this process to carry out this grand mission as a civilization jihadist responsibility, which lies on the soldiers of Muslims and on top of them, the Muslim Brotherhood in this country. So I don't know what more you have to see to understand it's in black and white. Now, mind you, this document was evidence in a federal trial. This document was found during a raid of someone that was a terrorist that was supporting Hamas from this country, and it opened up a whole can of worms. Now, if you were a coach in football or baseball or whatever, and you found the playbook to the other side, and you knew what they were going to do, wouldn't you be forming your plays to alter that? I mean, it just makes sense that we have this. Law enforcement has this. The military has this. This is a document that they have never contested. They don't talk about it. They don't say it's not true. They basically just don't even hear you when you talk about it. And that's what they do. That's what Muslims do. When you've got them in an uncomfortable position, they'll lie about it, but they won't talk about it. They prefer not to talk about it. And that's the case with this document. So they've lined out everything. They've even given us the names of the organizations that are present in this country that are Muslim Brotherhood that are here to enable this. But you know what? We look at it and we're like, oh, that's a silly document. That doesn't mean anything. Well, I hate to tell you this, but it does mean something, and they're doing exactly what they said they were going to do. And what's interesting, too, is there's another document. This is not evidence. It has really no meaning other than it comes from – a lot of it comes from the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, who happens just to say, the first step is to educate and form the Muslim person. From there, the Muslim person would spread Islam and help form a Muslim family. Muslim families would group together to form a Muslim society, which would establish a Muslim government. The government would then transform the state into an Islamic one governed by Sharia, as voted by the Muslim society. This Islamic state would then work to free occupied Muslim lands and unify them together under one banner from which Islam could be spread all over the world. You get it? That is the goal. Now, you've got the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hassan al-Banna, who's telling you this. And then you've got the other document that was evidence in a trial telling you this. So I don't really know what more you could possibly want. You've got the defamation of religion law that Hillary Clinton and that whole mess up in Washington has written and proposed. The OIC contains 57 states. Islamic, what's called 57 Islamic states, are the wealthiest, some of the wealthiest countries in the world. So, you know, we're still getting oil from them. So, of course, that's going to be a tool if we don't do what they want. But I guess I just don't understand the complacency and the ignorance of a lot of people who just fail to understand that this is coming. The OIC has a report that has been released for some time now, that is called the 10-Year Program of Action. Now, here you have a UN-backed organization that has a 10-year program for the United States. So, you know, maybe the UN is a problem as well. I would say the UN certainly is a problem. It's a long document because they're talking about 10 years of, you know, how to change America and all its bad things that are happening here. But I think some of the more interesting, and I'm not going to, again, read a lot of what's going on here, but they break it down into sections. And one of the sections, of course, is talking about interreligious dialogue, which we have talked about before. The one tool that they have that they're very good at is called interfaith forums, where they get all the lovely tree-hugging pastors and religious leaders throughout the country together to say, oh, my gosh, Islam is wonderful. You're such a peaceful religion. Another one is another subtopic on their 10-year plan is called Combating Islamophobia. Islamophobia is a Muslim Brotherhood term. They coined that term years ago. And now that's all you hear, you know, is, oh, my God, it's Islamophobia. You don't agree with us? Oh, you're a hater. You're a bigot. You're a racist. Well, we've been through those definitions of words before. And if you're that ignorant that you don't know that a racist doesn't equal someone who speaks out against Islam, then you're stupid. All right. But what they say here under combating Islamophobia is that they want to emphasize the responsibility of the international community, including all governments, to ensure respect all religions and combat their defamation. Except what they're not telling you is that the law was written specifically for Islam. It isn't there to protect Christians. It's not there to protect Jews or Mormons or Hindus or anything else. It's there to protect Islam. So they say to affirm the need to counter Islamophobia through the establishment of an observatory at the OIC, General Secretary, to monitor all forms of Islamophobia, to issue an annual report, and ensure cooperation with the government and non-government organizations to counter it. So they're just lining up all the rules here. Initiate a structured and sustained dialogue in order to project the true values of Islam and empower Muslim countries to help in the war against it. So it basically is nothing more than helping the Islamic countries and for them to form their global caliphate is what they've always said. Under the Human Rights and Good Governance Clause, they say that they are seriously endeavor to enlarge the scope of political participation. See, when you start breaking these things down, then you see what they're really talking about. It's all about politics. It's all about ruling. It's all about governing. So then they go on to say to ensure the equality and civil liberties and social justice and to promote transparency and accountability and eliminate corruption in the OIC member states. Now, you know, they got a point there because this, Lord knows, nothing else is transparent or accountable in this country. But, you know, they're telling you that this is what their vision of a government would be like in this country. To call upon the Islamic Conference of Foreign Ministers to consider the possibility of an establishing an independent permanent body to promote human rights. Oh, Lord, we've got so many human right organizations. You know, I just don't see us needing any more of them, but apparently, you know, they do. And that's a huge thing. That goes with their interfaith dialogues. You know, it's the human rights, the civil rights. So they all kind of go hand in hand. So if you're ever able to get into one of these ridiculous interfaith forums, if you don't gag or throw up while you're there, listen to what they're actually saying because they kind of group everything together, human rights and immigrant rights and lesbian and gay rights and, you know, all these other groups. This is what they're trying to do. All right, let me take a quick break before we go on any further. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, this is Ronnie Wood of the Stones for Rad. You know it's okay to rock and roll and party, because I do it all the time. Just let someone else do the driving. That's what I do. Remember, rock lives, and you should too. Please don't drink and drive.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Daily Roll Call. I'm your host, Kathy Hinners, here on conservativenationmedia.com. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. We're talking about what the plans are for America as far as our freedom of speech, according to the OIC, and probably a lot has to do with this administration. This is all part of the plan. We just read some of the things from the Muslim Brotherhood Manifesto. And, you know, I think it needs to be taken seriously, and a lot of people are not taking it seriously. So before the break, we were also going over some of the items from the OIC's 10-year plan for America. So, you know, all these people have plans for us. Nobody wants to tell us that. So then you kind of have to depend on the news to tell you that. Well, they're not telling you a lot of that. So then you have to depend on slugs like myself, you know, going out there saying this is what's happening. And, you know, it's very frustrating. It's extremely frustrating to be trying to tell people what's happening within the country and watching it slowly just keep going. And, you know, so many people's heads are in the sand. So back to the 10-year plan, there is another section called the conflict prevention, conflict resolution, and post-conflict peace building. There, what they've determined to be under this heading is to strengthen the role of the OIC in conflict prevention, confidence building, peacekeeping, conflict resolution, and post-conflict rehabilitation in OIC member states, as well as in conflict situations involving Muslim communities. And then to enhance cooperation among the OIC member states and between the OIC and international and regional organizations in order to protect the rights and interests of the member states in conflict. And they use that word conflict and peace building so much, it's stupid. They start talking then about the development, the socioeconomic and scientific issues. You know, they're so hung up on saying that, you know, they were here before Columbus, and they've, you know, they're the founders of all these things, and, you know, the arts and all this other stuff. It's just, it's ridiculous. They talk about supporting development and poverty alleviation in Africa. So economics, obviously money, is always one of the bottom lines. But under this title, they talk about how they urge donor member states to cancel bilateral and multilateral debts to low-income member states. So, you know, we know that there are third-world countries, but, you know, even though it looks like we could pay for them, and I'm sure this administration is trying to pay for them, you can't afford that, you know. But here they are saying that, again, it's almost a redistribution of wealth. Guess what? That's one of the five pillars. The redistribution of wealth is one of the five pillars. Not in name, certainly, okay, but it falls under zakat, which is the tax which a Muslim is required to give 2.5% of their income to charity. So this is basically redistribution of wealth, and this is what they believe in, you know. And it's not even talking about here in America. It's talking about we're going to send money to Africa. Well, we might as well. We're sending it to every other country, so I don't see why we wouldn't there. There, another number four here under supporting development and poverty alleviation is to urge international specialized institutions and organizations to exert greater efforts to alleviate poverty in the least developed member states and to assist Muslim societies, the refugees, and the displaced in the states, and Muslim minorities and communities in non-member states, such as the United States. Urge states to contribute to the World Fund for Solidarity in Combating Poverty. So understand what a global caliphate is. It's one religion, one set of laws, one government. And someone had emailed me a while ago and said, that almost sounds like if you believe in Agenda 21, because they kind of believe in the same thing, only they go one step further, which is one education system throughout the world. Well, we're going to talk about education in a little while. But when you hear the word global, everything is becoming global. And we've said this before. If you pay attention to that, it's no longer enough to be a citizen of this country. They want you to be a global citizen. What the hell is that? I was born in this country. I wasn't born in the global realm of things. You know, I mean, global education, that's coming, and we're going to be talking about that later on. Global education is on its way to your child's door. You think Common Core is bad as it is right now, global education, but everything is global. Global training, you know, global organizations, global development, global finance, you know, it goes on and on and on. All right, back to the 10-year plan of the OIC for their idea of what we should be doing here. Another topic is rights of women, youth, children, and the family in the Muslim world. The goal, obviously, you know, they keep talking about the Muslim world. Well, the goal is, obviously, a global caliphate is so that we are part of their Muslim world, because if you're not, if you don't convert, they can kill you or you end up paying a tax, which is called the jizya. And then you're basically what's called a dhimmi, or as I say, a dummy, because you're treated like a third-class citizen in your own country. So they go on to say that they would like to strengthen the laws that are aimed at enhancing the advancement of women in Muslim societies, in economic, cultural, social, and political fields, where they're the ones that are always saying women are equal. So, you know what, this just proves that they're not. In accordance with Islamic values of justice and equality, and aimed also at protecting women from all forms of violence and discrimination, and adhering to the provisions of the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, in line with the Islamic values of justice and equality. Well, that's a bunch of bull, because in their own books, they talk about that it's okay to beat your wife lightly. You know, they go on to even say that never strike her in the head or leave marks, but it's okay to strike her and, you know, go ahead and beat her lightly. We've seen time and time again how women are treated. You know, even in this country, I can think of no reason why a god would ask a woman to cover every single inch of her body. Now, I believe in modesty. I think that's a good thing. You know, but they got this thing about covering themselves to the point that it's just ludicrous. How do you go to a beach and you wear a burqa or a hijab? I mean, do you think God's asking you to bear that? I don't believe that. I mean, I grew up Catholic, and we always had to wear little beanies. That was about as modest as we got when we had to wear beanies to go in church. My mother always smacked a handkerchief on my head, and that usually did it. But, you know, that's modesty. Dressing modest is okay. But to wear the things that they wear and demand that they wear these things, I mean, in some countries they actually have a fashion police, and it's not our version, ladies, of fashion police. You know, they don't come up and say, oh, my God, you don't have Versace shield on or whatever. It's, you know what, if you've got a leg showing, you're going to get beat and then probably arrested. So there's a big difference. But I see this younger culture of Muslim women trying to make hijabs or headscarves the cool thing. You know, there's a few people in the Nashville area that just are bent on going into these schools with young women and saying how cool it is to wear a hijab. Yet they violate the Quran by wearing tight jeans and tight skirts and things like that. But, you know, hey, whatever. So, again, this whole equality thing with women is basically a joke, but it sounds good. So, you know, it's always a dual concept with Islam. All right, America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalsky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. That's the Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalsky, Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. You are listening to Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. And we're still talking about the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and what they have come out with just recently regarding the fact that they think it's time for Muslims in the United States of America to start suing. If they don't like what you say, they're going to sue you. And I would say by the culture that I know of, just by them being in Tennessee, that it's going to be a mess. You know, the lawsuits are going to fly. And until a judge in a higher court has the, what's the right word for that? Spine. We'll use the word spine. Until they have a spine and say, no, we're not going to do this, we're going to be in big trouble. Because it's going to be, if you think it's bad now with lawsuits, with the frivolous lawsuits that we have in this country, wait till these Muslims start tying up the courts, and I believe that's part of the plan. You know, they used to refer to it as paper terrorism. You know who's good at that? Sovereign citizens are good at that. So there you go. You talk about your terrorist organizations. Muslims are basically the same thing. You know, let's use every tool that we have to make this country miserable, and then they'll cave in. Unfortunately, that's usually the case. Instead of fighting, we'll just cave in. But hopefully, we do have some judges. And I know in this state, we've got some great, we do have some good politicians in this state, some legislators and some senators that do have the backbone and have established some laws here in the state. I think predominantly in your southern states you will find that. the bigger spines down this way. So hopefully they can put an end to this nonsense. This whole idea of suing because they're offended, you know, but when you think about it, it's brilliant. They're using our own freedoms against us. Brilliant. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2!
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown-up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back. Daily Roll Call. I'm Kathy Hinners. This is conservativenationmedia.com. Phone number 718-305-7176. And we're going to wrap up this hour talking about the OIC and their plans for our country. I don't know how else to tell you to get the word out. At this point, there should be thousands of people attending meetings and attending school board meetings and anything to do with, city and state government. There shouldn't be just 5 or 10 people there. At this point, the way things are running in this country, there should be protests going on. There should be all sorts of things happening in this country. You know, the rumble of, you know what, you keep this up, we're going to do something about it. And I don't sense any of that. I suppose at some point, you know, Americans are going to say enough is enough, but man, by the time that happens, it could be too late. So the final page here of the 10-year program, according to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, they're talking about the role of women, youth, children, and family in the Muslim world. So I'm all for protecting the youth. I have no problem with that. But one of the things they say here is to call upon the OIC to contribute towards projecting Islam as a religion that guarantees full protection of women's rights and encourages their participation in all walks of life. Well, that's a bunch of crap. That is just so not true. They treat women so poorly in these countries. Women are still stoned to death. And a classic example of, inequality is when they stone a woman, she is buried right up to her neck, right through her neck. when they stone a man, they bury him from the hips down. So obviously he can fend off rocks and things with his arms and his hands, whereas a woman, you know what, she's dead. You take a couple hits to the head with a big old boulder and you're done. But, you know, that's okay. And just a little tidbit for you, did you know that Hamas pays their male, well, it doesn't pay them, actually it pays their family members, male suicide bombers, $400, but the family of the female homicide bomber, and I call them homicide bombers, only gets $200. So, boy, that's worth it, you know. They want to establish a division responsible for family affairs within the framework of the General Secretariat's restructuring. So all these words, you know, the General Secretariat, that is the way that the government would be. There is a Shura Council, and there is, you know, like a president, but it's a global initiative. It isn't just, you know, the United States. So, and finally on this, they talk about the cultural and information exchange. And this is interesting because they've already done this. TV channels and the mass media to deal with international mass media effectively in order to enable the Muslim world to express its perspective on developments, call on the mass media in the member states, including satellite channels, to agree on a code of ethics that caters for diversity and pluralism and safeguards the Ummah, or the Brotherhood's, values and interests, or I'm sorry, the community. Ummah means community. Their values and interests. So they want to gear television, whether it's satellite or cable or whatever it is, to have a code of ethics to show what falls under their values, their community's values, and to respect their interests. You know, I kind of agree that, you know, some television program is disgusting, but there again, if you don't like it, you turn the channel. You don't have to watch it. That's part of your freedom in this country. But they're not taking it that way. They're taking it more that this is the rule and you're going to have to fit that rule. If the programming doesn't constitute what we believe in and what our values are, then you don't have it. They've already tried their programming here in the United States. If anybody remembers, I think it was called American Muslim. You know, it got canceled. Nobody watched it. Nobody cares. That's the whole funny thing. You know what? Nobody cares that you're a Muslim. Nobody cares that you have to pray five times a day. Just practice your religion and live in the United States. Assimilate into society. But they don't do that. They want to rule the world, and that's just not the way it's going to be, because I guess they'll end up having to be a war. And whether it's a revolution or a religious war, you know, there's all kinds of thoughts about that. Certainly there's all kinds of thoughts about, you know, what that would entail. But you just can't give in to this. So the American Muslim was just a show, if I remember correctly, it was a show that tried to make them look normal. And, you know, they're human beings. I don't have a problem saying that. Of course they're human beings. But, you know, their agenda and their values are a little screwed up compared to ours, because I don't care what religion you are. I don't care as long as you don't bring me into it. But, you know, their values are kind of interesting. And I guess I would have to agree with a lot of their values. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, it's their way or no way. And so the Constitution obviously is being used against us at this point. But, you know, I give them the fact that they are brilliant and that they've had this plan for several years. They came here in the 60s, probably before that, but we you know, we follow the Muslim Brotherhood from the 60s here, and they set out to have a goal of taking over from within. They have said repeatedly that, you know, like Gaddafi said in Libya, that they don't need war or guns and bombs to take over the UK and the United States. They'll take it over from within. And they are doing a superior job at taking us over from within while we have them in the White House. You know, we talked last week about one of these senior advisors to policymaking in Homeland Security, Mohammed Ali Biari. And he's all over the news this week. I guess it's really kind of caught wind from a lot of online articles and blogs and things like that about who he is. You know, I mean, here he is, head of Homeland Security, or I shouldn't say head of Homeland Security, but certainly has a very prominent role in creating policies within the United States under Homeland Security. And he is Muslim Brotherhood, and he doesn't have any bones about telling you that he's Muslim Brotherhood. Check out his tweet sometime. I think it's at Mohammed Ali Biari. And, you know, we talked about last week that he was using the R4 Bia logo, which is a Muslim Brotherhood logo. He had that all over his Twitter and Facebook pages, and then tries to say that, oh, it's just a religious thing. Well, it isn't a religious thing. It means Muslim Brotherhood through and through. So if any of you got to go to that website last week to look up what they actually talk about, R4 Bia, you know, they just talk about how foul the Western world is. But yet they live here, and they want to change it. And like I said before, you know, we hear people all the time say, you know, get out of my country, go back to where you're from. Well, they're from here, unfortunately. And, you know, when we get a chance to talk about Sharia law in a little bit, we're going to talk about what happens in the prisons and how the rate of what they call being reverted instead of converted, the rate of that in prison is phenomenal. And the radicalization process that's taking place in the prisons is unbelievable. We're finding that a lot of the imams, a lot of the chaplains in the prison systems are radicals themselves and believe in the form of Wahhabism, which is practiced in Saudi Arabia and is one of the most radical forms of Islam that there is. And this is what's happening in the prisons. So how do you stand a chance? You know, when you have every organization and every entity within the structure of our society being infiltrated. I can think of no other word to use other than infiltrated. And, you know, you can't fight an enemy until they're identified as an enemy. And we refuse to identify them as an enemy because they say they're a religion. And I said before, just because they have a holy book doesn't mean they're a religion. The Quran is, I wouldn't even call the Quran a holy book. I mean, there's a lot of things that promote violence and all sorts of things in the Quran. You know, how do you say that's a holy book? But then, of course, you got to hear from the liberals that always say, oh, well, Christians kill people too, and, you know, the Jews did this, and the Mormons do that, and all these stupid things. And I guess my answer to that always is, I am not talking about the Christians or the Jews. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about Muslims. So, you know, as far as people saying it's a religion, I just don't go for that anymore. I just refuse to believe, and I refuse to call it a religion. Some people say it's a cult, which, you know what? That might not be a bad word for it. I just say it's a political way of life. And that's exactly what it is, a political way of life. But it needs to be stopped. We have our politics in this country. We have our rules in this country. And it is not Sharia law. And after the break at the top of the hour here, we're going to come back and we're going to pose that question about will the military and law enforcement within the United States disarm their own citizens? We're going to talk a little bit about that. And then hopefully we have some time, have a couple of the little stories for you, and also to talk about Sharia law and some of the ways that Sharia law is being implemented in this country. So the question about the military and law enforcement, I just thought would be interesting. It was posed to me in an email, And this gentleman did say that he would be anxious to hear anyone that, you know, was going to call in about this, preferably law enforcement or military, to talk about what the military and law enforcement do in this country. Are they going to turn on their own citizens, or are we going to have oath keepers or people that truly believe in the Constitution stand up for us? So think about that, and we're going to take a break, and we'll see you on the other end.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Senate Democrats are on the cusp of securing enough GOP votes to next week break a filibuster on the bipartisan budget, temporarily ending the fiscal crises that have dominated Washington for the past several years. With 55 Democrats expected to back the measure, four Republicans, John McCain, Susan Collins, Jeff Flake, and Richard Burr, said that they would vote to cut off debate, putting proponents just one vote shy of advancing the measure to final passage. Several additional GOP senators signaled today that they may also vote to advance the deal, including Senators Bob Corker, Lisa Murkowski, and John Hoeven. The Senate is poised to hold the critical procedural vote on the budget bill on Tuesday. Janet Yellen will likely be confirmed to head the Federal Reserve in a matter of days. Yellen is expected to cruise to confirmation, especially now that she only needs a simple majority of senators to vote for her. The Senate will conclude its work for the year next Friday. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Daily Roll Call on ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm your host, Kathy Hinners. Number to call in, 718-305-7176. Pretty quiet switchboard here tonight. I'm just going to throw this out there, and if anybody wants to call in and have a discussion or a fight, so be it. But we talked about, will the military and or law enforcement disarm their own citizens? Well, obviously, we all know that the first step in establishing a dictatorship is to disarm citizens. There's been a lot of talk, specifically in certain circles and on the Internet and even on some shows on TV, that what is happening within the country from the point of gun control to the true lack of ammunition, to what happens if martial law is ever implemented. Now, I can tell you the lack of ammunition is true because, you know what, there is none. You go to Walmart or any of the sporting goods stores, unless you're there on shipping day, and usually those are already will called or, you know, people are already waiting for those as orders. You know, there's not a whole lot of ammunition available out there. I don't necessarily think it's a conspiracy that the government has bought it all up, but, you know, what I used to think was a conspiracy, so many things are just panning out to be, well, it could be true. But I can tell you that there is not a whole lot of ammunition out there. The military is being decimated by this administration, whether it's the military benefits that are being cut. Training certainly has been cut for the military and law enforcement. And the pay, you know, their pay is being messed with, leaving the troops high and dry. And unfortunately, their families are the ones that are bearing the brunt of a lot of that. And then law enforcement has kind of similar problems, but kind of not, because law enforcement, they're cutting back on their training, and I can also personally attest to that, that training other than specialized training has been cut. Anything to do with Islam and terrorist, I can tell you, has been cut, drastically cut, because their idea is if a Muslim doesn't teach you about Islam, then nobody's going to teach about Islam. So believe me, I can vouch for that, you know, that classes have been cut dramatically through the military and law enforcement. But where the military isn't making out as well, law enforcement, though, is seeing an upswing in specialized equipment being given to, like, different jurisdictions and also large grants that are being written for these really outrageous pieces of equipment. I mean, you're talking about a sheriff's department in Texas getting a $300,000 pilotless surveillance drone to a town in Maine or a small city in Maine that just ordered $1,500 tactical vests. A department in Iowa that's acquired two bomb disarming robots at the cost of $180,000. And in Arizona, they're the proud owner of a surplus army tank. Now, I'm all for, you know, law enforcement getting equipment to make the job easier. I'm retired law enforcement. I would have loved to have had a tank. I would have loved to have been behind a tank in some of my areas. That would have been, that just would have been a dream. I wouldn't have minded a drone so much either. That would have been cool too. But I would have settled for a remote-controlled helicopter, you know. But in the area that I worked in, which ended up being a lot of Middle Easterners, I would have loved a tank because I would have leveled their stores, but whatever. You know, what is that kind of discrepancy there between the military and law enforcement? And I don't know. And you know, this was the question that was posed to me in an email. So, you know, and he goes on further to say, let's talk about the role of the TSA and the federal police. And I can tell you that the federal police, who used to just have jurisdiction over federal compounds and federal buildings, are now out on the street. And you see federal police cars all over the place. And so, you know, I'm not sure why they're out on the street. I mean, in between driving, you know, where they got to go is one thing, but patrolling is another. You know, and a lot of people look at the TSA the same way. You know, look at the uniforms. Have the uniforms changed so drastically? So, and we all know and we all love someone who was a TSA agent. I have my favorite TSA agent, Kara, who is now a police officer, I'm proud to say. And she's going to be a great police officer, by the way. But you know what? We all have those problem children in our agencies. And the TSA has them, and so does the federal police, and so does local law enforcement and state and everybody else. Those are probably the ones, though, that that they'll use if there's martial law. So I don't know about how military and law enforcement would disarm their own people. I can see certain, mindsets of police officers, especially because I worked with a lot of them that had this, you know, give me the badge and, the all-powerful, almighty cop. Those are the ones you got to worry about, and those are the ones that would probably not have a problem with doing as they were told to do. However, I believe that I worked with quite a bit of law enforcement that would not do that. I'm confident that a lot of them would say, enough is enough. We believe in our Constitution, and we're not going to do it. But on the other side of that, and you know what? You can think what you want to think about this, but back in 2012, at the Center for Domestic Preparedness, which is in Anniston, Alabama, and I can tell you about that because I've been there for training, but they had a graduation of 231 students graduate from what is called the FEMA Corps. And a lot of folks have said that, have equated that to a rather interesting, an interesting phenomenon, but they call it Hitler's youth. And I try not to be, conspiracy-minded when I think of these things, but, when I saw the picture is online of the graduation, and they're all in uniform, and they range from 18 to 24 in age, and they're supposed to be being trained to deal with disasters throughout the country. But it's interesting, in this email, it just kind of points out the fact that, well, why are they being trained, and why 18 to 24? It's a year, they're committed to a year program, so I don't know of too many 18-year-olds that would be able to do that, but a total of 462 core members have graduated from the training as of now. The goal is to have 1,600 graduate over the next, a few years from now. So FEMA Corps, supposedly, they say, is a civilian operation for persons between the ages of 18 and 24, and it falls within AmeriCorps, which is a community service program. So, whether or not it does, I don't know. But I thought that was an interesting point. Will our military and law enforcement disarm us? Cecilia Munez, the director of the White House Domestic Policy Council, introduced the FEMA program, the FEMA Corps, and she says that the purpose of the program is to strengthen the nation's disaster response capacity. They will provide a trained and reliable resource dedicated to support disaster operations while enhancing the entire emergency management workforce. I don't know. Our 18-year-olds mature enough to go and handle complete devastation and death and destruction in a lot of these places? I don't know. I don't know why you would want an 18-year-old. I know I wouldn't want an 18-year-old as my backup, unless he was like 7 feet tall and 300 pounds or something, but I don't see the maturity level there. But she also says creating pathways to work for young people by providing training, experience, and educational opportunity, the partnership will prepare thousands of young people for careers in emergency management. Oh, now that's weak. FEMA just didn't create this position. It's a paid position. It's a full-time position for these kids. And they're saying that they hired them now to give them a chance to have a career in emergency management. That's lame. I don't buy that. That's baloney. Promoting an ethos of national service, the partnership will strengthen our nation's culture of service and civic engagement by mobilizing core members and community volunteers to provide critical disaster service. I guess. Not sure about that one either. And then modernizing government operations to improve performance. By working together, FEMA will advance the president's management goals of working across government, managing across sectors, and promoting efficiency. Why is it when a government writes like a definition of what something's supposed to be, it's like so screwed up? It's like, what does that mean, managing across sectors and promoting efficiency? You know what? There is no such thing as efficiency when you have total destruction of a city. how efficient can one be when you first get there, you know? And certainly an 18-year-old, I don't think, is going to be able to pull that one off. But, you know, the new FEMA Corps is the thing, I guess. But they go on to say that the full-time residential service program is for individuals age 18 to 24. Well, okay, if that's what you say. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit energysavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Daily Roll Call here with Kathy Hinners on conservativenationmedia.com, 718-305-7176. And we're talking about the FEMA Corps. Some people believe it's only the beginning of a national police force. I don't know. But anyway, this Muniz woman here, the director of White House Domestic Policy, who introduced this FEMA Corps idea, says that it is a full-time residential service program for individuals between 18 and 24. They serve a one-year term, including a minimum of 1,700 hours, providing support working directly with disaster survivors. The first members will begin serving this August, and the program will reach its full capacity within 18 months. So you're talking 1,600 kids going through this program within 18 months. They believe the program will enhance the federal government's disaster capabilities, increase the reliability, and here's this word, diversity of the disaster workforce. Why has diversity got to come into this? Oh, my gosh. Promote an ethos of service and expand education and economic opportunity for voting young people. Well, yeah, for young people. Obama had given this, had said this in a speech in 2008 as he was still a candidate. Quote, "We cannot continue to rely on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, and just as well-funded." I don't know. So what do you think? Do you believe that this is Obama's new army, or is it in fact just, you know, that they're training young people for disasters? I don't know. Just something that, again, I got this email and I thought it would be interesting just to throw that out. But I don't know really what I believe. Nothing is impossible with this administration, that's for sure. But whether or not we're forming a foundation for the national police, it wouldn't surprise me, though, a national police force. I would not be surprised by that, and I would think that the federal police would have that kind of wrapped up. But anything goes, and you never know. All right, so that's that topic. I wanted to get into talking a little bit about, Sharia law and exactly how it's entering. You know, earlier we talked about the defamation of religion law, which is on the way. And then, this is all, again, how this all kind of fits a puzzle of the Muslim Brotherhood stepping into this country and changing it. So Sharia law, people hear that term, and a lot of people don't know what it means. A lot of people don't care what it means, but you need to care because that may replace the Constitution at some point, or so they say. And certainly they seem to be on schedule for doing that. But some of the ways that Sharia law has kind of rooted itself in this country, and as I go over these, start thinking about the stories that you hear on the news, and you might say, that's true. American employers and schools are met with demands for time and space to do Islamic prayer. These demands are based on Sharia law. Well, there again, everything that I'm going to say they demand that they have to have, when in fact it is not a need, it is a desire, but it is not a need that needs to change everything in our society. They don't have to pray five times a day. It's liked if they pray five times a day, but they don't have to pray five times a day. So the latest story that was in the news with that was DHL, the delivery service that fired, it was like four or five Muslims got fired in Ohio because they all walked off the job to go pray. Well, that's a problem. You know, when you have five people in one area walking off the job because they say they have a right to pray, well, that's a problem. So I'd fire them too. But as usual, CARE has stepped in. The Council on American Islamic Relations has stepped in and said, no, that's religious discrimination. And so DHL, I believe, is making some sort of accommodations for them. So if you happen to have Muslims as employees, and if you do, I put my blessings on you now, it's only going to get worse. Just know that they don't need much time to go pray. There was a janitor in my station when I was on the police department that had everybody fooled that he had to take a half-hour break to go pray. Well, that's not true. You figure probably 5 to 7 minutes. And in that time, they are required to wash. It's called wudu, not doo-doo, voodoo or voodoo. It's wudu. And they have to wash the legs. And, there's a whole system to washing. We'll get into that another time. And after they wash, providing nothing dirty touches them, they are allowed to pray. And it should only be a 5 to 7 minute thing. It shouldn't be any longer than that. So don't let anybody tell you that it anything different, because it doesn't take a half hour to do their prayers. So again, Sharia law is open the door here as they are praying in schools and in businesses. The American banking system is becoming Islamicized with Sharia in that we have to provide Sharia-compliant products. And like I said at the beginning of the show, we are going to be having a Sharia financial expert coming up in January who's going to run down exactly what that means and where the money is. But what a totally Sharia-compliant product would be is they are not allowed to pay interest. It is riba, it is usury, and it is against their law. it is considered to be haram, which is illegal under Sharia law. So a lot of the big banks are giving them their products. That would be Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citizens, HSBC, just a lot of the bigger banks here in this country. But I am finding that some of the small town banks, there's only like a couple of them here and there throughout different states, that they are also becoming Sharia compliant. And you know what? When you've got millions of dollars looking at you from Saudi funded people or organizations, bank is going to turn that down, especially a homegrown small bank that might be struggling to make it. Of course they're going to allow Sharia compliant products if it brings them in more money. It's usually all about the money. Universities, our colleges and things like that are asked to provide sexually segregated swimming pools. Well, welcome, because the YMCA, the Young Men Christian Academy, and that is happening specifically in Tennessee as well, are having to provide separate swimming lessons and swimming pools for Muslim women. They're not they are not allowed to swim where men might be able to see them or anything like that. So the Young Men's Christian Association is giving that accommodation to the Muslim women. Hospitals are being sued for not providing Sharia-compliant treatment. And there's a whole section of care, has an entire booklet for hospitals in the medical field on how to treat Muslim patients, which would include medication. The medications, a lot of the medications that we take or that are, made in this country are they have some sort of pork byproduct, which would be the gel or the jello that surrounds the capsules. So that is not allowed in Islam. So therefore, they are suing the drug companies and then going after the hospitals because they gave it to them. Women are not allowed to be left with male doctors. Again, there's a whole booklet on how to treat your Muslim patient. So again, that is Sharia law. Courses at the college level that use critical thinking regarding history and the doctrine of Islam. They are providing whitewashed versions of history, and this is not just happening in colleges. Now it's happening all over in elementary schools, high schools, you name it. But again, that has opened the door for Sharia law. That is Sharia law. And in the colleges, it's happening in high schools now. They have what's called the Muslim Student Associations. And that is a Muslim Brotherhood organization. We've talked about that before. So the MSA is there to keep an eye on everything that's happening in those colleges. And the first person or the first professor that decides to speak out against Islam is not only criticized and ostracized, they probably will be sued as well. All right, you got Muslim charities that give money to jihadists. As per Sharia law, they are, again, required to do that. They're mandated to provide money to the mujahideen, or the fighters, to fight the cause. And this is prevalent. We've talked about what to look for in stores, and one of the things I told you is to look for charity solicitation boxes. And they may not make a lot of money, but any money is money. And we talked about Kind Heart being one of the top ones. Somali relief funds, Pakistani relief funds, any of those things that you might see in a store probably are supporting some sort of organization that supports terrorism. That is Sharia law. Muslim foot baths are being installed in airport facilities. And by the way, you're paying for this stuff. And also Muslim foot baths are being installed in a lot of our Capitol buildings, a lot of our state buildings. So my question to that is, you want to talk about separation of church and state? Well, then you don't need your foot bath in my county building. But we're paying for it, and we're paying dearly for those. But they say it's a requirement that they have to do their wudu before they can pray. So you have to give them that space to perform wudu, to wash, So, you know, that is a requirement. And by allowing that, again, is opening the door for Sharia law. So before we go further into how Sharia is here, I want to tell you about LifeLock. One of the worst nightmares that can befall in America today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it can take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. It helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scopes may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on LifeLock banner. You'll be glad you did. And we'll be back after this break.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call. I'm Kathy Hinners on conservativenationmedia.com. We are talking about Sharia law, some of the ways that Sharia law has crept into this country. And, I like to look at it as it's like weeds coming up through the ground, you know, and instead of us like killing it with weed killer or Roundup, we're giving it Miracle-Grow. So it's just kind of, you know, really creeping out, and well, I guess that's why they call it creeping Sharia, duh. But yeah, it's alive and well here. So the last thing we talked about was the foot baths in airport facilities. I can tell you that the Nashville airport just opened up a prayer room, which even has a rug with a compass to show them which way is the proper way to pray, to face the east. So, you know, that's our tax dollars, you know, providing this sort of foolishness. So, you know, I don't understand why you just can't go into a room and pray privately. but it has to be this big, huge, you know, look at me, I'm Muslim, I'm praying type thing. It's stupid. Okay, so we got the foot baths and, you know, all that stuff in public buildings, which I have a real problem with. Our prisons are, we talked about this a few minutes ago, our prisons are becoming the stronghold of, you know, Islamic proselytizing. And, you know, a perfect example of that was a guy that I met. His name is Waris Din Umar. And he's on the FBI watch list. He has been for some time. And I've met with him when I was in New York a couple of times. And, you know, the funny thing is to sit and talk to him, and I was with him for several hours in a diner, he's so charismatic and he's so likable. I mean, he was one of the nicest men I've ever met. Until you hear his ideology. And then it's like, oh, my God, this guy's crazy. But, you know, one of the first things I asked him when we sat down, and this was probably my fault, was, you know, do you believe in suicide bombings? And, you know, at the time it was noontime in the Gateway Diner, and he yells, hell no. And then very softly he yells, unless Allah tells me so. And, of course, it's like anything else when you're in a diner at that particular moment. It just was so quiet, you know, and I'm, like, shrinking under the table. And it was so embarrassing. But then I thought, well, okay, I might as well just continue on with this guy. And I did for quite a few hours. And, you know, he started out with completely the right ideas about getting back to the values and basics of this country. And then he goes just off on, you know, how Islam is the light. And I'm like, oh, brother. But then I hear his audio clips from some of the sermons that he gave to the prisoners in the New York prison system, which he was fired from. Now, to get fired from anything New York State is impossible. So think about how bad he had to be because he got fired. Now, he'll say he retired, but he got fired. So, you know, talking to him, and he's going on about things, and then when I left him, I went home and I listened to some of his rantings, and one of the things that he said right after 9/11, which struck me, and I think this is why he was fired, was he said to strike terror in the hearts of the disbelievers, and so that pretty much did it for me, but he was very interesting. And what's also kind of comical about that is he lived around the corner from me. And on my way home from work one day, there's like all this police activity and local cops and, you know, the black SUVs with the tinted windows. So you knew it was kind of some – they just raided his house. And so he was – obviously he's suing the FBI and everybody else. But they had gone into his house. He wasn't home. His wife was just traumatized because the FBI came in and she didn't have on her hijab and her face was exposed and, oh, my God, so they're suing everybody. He's a very intelligent man. He has several degrees. He's written several books. But, again, you know, in prison, don't, you know, excuse the pun, but you're a captive audience when you're in prison. But they're running the show. They are running the show in prison. I can tell you that up in St. Louis, in the St. Louis area, there is a prison that does not allow the corrections officers to go in the wing where Friday prayers are being held. It's called Juma. That's their Friday prayer. And it's probably an hour, hour and a half type service. But you're in jail, and they're not letting the corrections officers go to that part of the wing because they have a right to pray, and they have a right to pray without being watched by law enforcement. They don't mind strutting out in front of Madison Avenue in New York City where they close down every September to have the Muslim Day parade. They don't mind that, but, oh, they don't want law enforcement while they're in prison. Are you kidding me? It's craziness. All right, so we know that prisons are a big stronghold, and that is where so many of these people are radicalized. But, you know, the first thing that they demand when they get into prison is you got to give them a Quran. And then the other thing that they've been asking for is what's called a book called Milestones, which is written by a Muslim Brotherhood person who lived in this country back in the 60s. His name is Saeed Qutb, K-U-T-B. And when you read Milestones, you'll understand his hatred for the Western way of life. But yet he lived here for several years. He went to, you know, he went to universities here. And he writes, articles about how disgusted he was by American women, and how when he would go into a bar, but they're not supposed to go in bars, but he would go into bars and he'd be disgusted with American women because they'd be dancing close to men. And, you know, so it's like, you freak, why did you go into the bar then? You know, but this, he writes a very disturbing, radical book, and that's one of the second books that they give them in prison. They also give them to the Gitmo prisoners. So, there again, that's our way of allowing Sharia law to come into our country. We talked about the workplaces, but not only are they demanding to be, you know, praying in the workplace and in schools, well, now they want time off. They want time off for their holidays. All right, I'll give them that. You know what? I can see because, you know, other religions do have their holidays. So, all right, you got to give them like a day or whatever. The only problem with that is the Hajj, which is the trip to Mecca that every Muslim must do throughout their life, is like a week long. I mean, you can't just give somebody a week off unless they take vacation. But they're not going to do that because they're going to say, oh, it's my religious right and you have to accommodate me. So therefore, once again, we're following Sharia law, which is just absurd. All right, before we get further into this, I want to say that our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers. So what would you expect? There is no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks. Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. All right, we're talking about Sharia law and how it's come into this country and what different ways that it's come into this different ways here. And you know what? It always comes in under the guise of the religion. You know, it's not necessarily they don't speak out and say this is Sharia law. It's under the guise of their religion. But you have to be smart. You have to be educated, and you have to understand that this is the way they're implementing their ways of law. So as an employer, you need to pay attention to this. You know what? You're going to get sued anyway. It doesn't matter. If you say no, you're going to get sued. If you say yes to one accommodation, you're going to get sued for more. So you're not going to win. So you might just as well say no. So what? You get sued. It's been, you know, I suppose it's easier said than done, but you just can't keep giving in. So, okay, so we know now that they want time off for some of their holy days or holidays. This is a good one, and this is probably more prevalent in the Somali communities than it is in others. Refugees are bringing all of their wives. Now, in the Muslim world, you can marry four wives. Most of them don't, especially the Middle Easterners. They don't necessarily believe in that, and they don't do it for the reasons that the American converts are doing it for. You know, you get the American converts, you're like, oh, yeah, we can marry all these women. This is going to be fun. Well, idiots. It isn't fun when you have to provide for them, and that's what the Middle Easterners do. They do it if the husband has been killed in war or whatever, they feel obligated. They take the woman into their home. They marry her so that they can provide for her. It isn't of the same mindset that the converts of this country have, where they think it's fun to have four wives in the house. Stupid, but whatever. So they bring all of their wives here because they have in this country what's called the family reunification process. And like again, it's big with the Somali community. So they bring in all their wives, their whole family. You know, Somalians usually have between six and eight children. 6 to 8 children plus 4 wives. So, you know what? You better get busy. They're Americans. You better get busy. We can't keep up with 6 to 8 kids. You know, they're like rabbits at this point. So they bring them here, and, of course, they use the welfare system. In the beginning, when Catholic Charities was bringing them all over, they were going specifically to states that had good welfare programs. Apparently now, that's, you know, kind of, it doesn't matter anymore. They're just bringing them into every state, and they're being given, you know, housing. No longer is an apartment, you know, good enough. You have to give them a home because you can't fit 13 people in some of the housing, you know, projects. So they give them a house. All right, stew on that for a minute. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
You're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where we still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places. The places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wise Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
I've been listening to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Another hour. It's gone by pretty quick. You know, these 2 hours, I think I need a six-hour show. I don't know. What do you think? 6 hours of this. Oh, my goodness. All right, well, I want to wrap up this segment here on Sharia law. I just want to make your night with a vision. Now, we have brought in Somalis, by the thousands into this country. They are from a third world country. Now, mind you, I'm not blaming them. A lot of them don't want to be here. There is depression that is rampant within the community. It's very serious. The elders, they don't want to be here, okay? But Catholic Charities and these other organizations think that it's appropriate to bring them here. So they come here, and they are bringing a new strain of tuberculosis with them and hepatitis as well. So they're bringing diseases into the country. But I think the biggest problem that we were seeing in law enforcement, and certainly it's a health department issue, which as far as I know they have not stepped in, is that they would dig a large hole in the backyard and fill it like with charcoal and cook on it. Okay, no big deal. But But then they'd like poop in it because that was their toilet. So there you go. And they all work for Tyson Chicken. So enjoy your chicken nuggets as you're eating right now, if you're eating. Just wanted to share that little tidbit with you about, you know, how they do that. And they have to have an American with them, by the way. When they go to the bathroom at Tyson Chicken, they have to have an American with them to show them how to wash their hands. So, you know, go for Tyson Chicken if that's what you want. We are going to say hello to Robert Garding from the New Wise Conservatism Show. Robert, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Looking out the window and it's snowing like crazy.
Oh, my goodness. So how much do you have already?
Oh, probably about 2 inches.
Oh, that's nothing. You're probably going to get a foot. That still isn't anything for you, though.
Well, I certainly hope not. They're predicting what's at 5 to 7 inches, so.
Oh, you're used to that, though, up there.
Well, I know that everybody here isn't, but I grew up in Colorado, so I'm used to it.
Yeah, you're all set. Yeah, you are. What do you got going this week? I know last week I listened to most of your show last week, and I know you were ready to pull your hair out, and I can tell you that I was ready to shoot the computer. So what do you got going this week then?
Well, I'm actually still working on it. This week, you know, I haven't had any problems finding anything to talk about on the show, but this week they've given me so darn much I'm having troubles figuring out which one to do. So,
I know. The news is making it very easy for us, that's for sure. You know, it's got lots of topics. So I will be listening again to you tomorrow, and I appreciate you being on hold, and hope that I didn't ruin your evening with the vision of Somalis and going to the bathroom in their cooking facility, but I will be listening to you tomorrow.
Well, you know, that's something that we've all got to realize they do, so.
Yeah.
Even though it's gross, we need to talk about it.
Yeah, you're right. It is gross, but you're right. We do need to talk about it. So it's unfortunate. Like I said, it's not their fault. But all right, Robert, you enjoy the rest of your evening and stay safe in that snow. Just go out and have a good snowball fight.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right, Robert. You take care.
We'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Right. That is Robert Garding, who has the New Wise Conservatism radio show on Saturdays here on conservativemedia.com. And good show. I did listen to him last week and, you know, talking about what's going on in the country and the Constitution and, you know, all of these other things. It's it does really make you want to pull your hair out when you hear all this stuff. It's bad enough watching the news, and then you listen to a show that's, you know, 2 hours worth of specifics. Like I would imagine you're trying to pull your hair out right now talking about Sharia law or about Muslims and the Muslim Brotherhood. But you know what? This is where you learn. You know, every Friday night it's a lesson in Islamists, and this is the place to be for that. So, you know, wrapping up about Sharia law, it's a very serious thing that is happening. It's a very serious intrusion on our First Amendment and actually our whole Constitution, because it is not in line with our beliefs. It is not in line with our values and our principles in this country. And they are not allowed, a good Muslim is not allowed to follow man-made law. So, you know, when you ask them why they're here, you know, the answer isn't usually truthful, because they aren't here to assimilate and to be like you and I. They are here with the mindset of changing everything, and they're doing a very good job. And from the beginning of the show to now, I think that you've probably heard some things that hopefully resonated with you to say, well, wow, They are doing things here like they say. And again, you know, you can read these documents, you know, read the different posts that I do on my website, dailyrollcall.com. And, If you're on Facebook, go on Facebook. Find me on Daily Roll Call on Facebook and friend me. Goal is 500 more friends before Christmas. I'm at 505. So you guys got a lot of work to do. Just kidding. Before we say goodnight, I just seriously want to tell you about the Christmas special that Conservative Mission Media is having. I've been waiting for this because I am really sick of weird Christmas music. You know, the, what do you call those, boy bands singing, and who is it? Josh Groban. Oh, my God, he sings these Christmas songs that just make me want to either break down and cry or commit myself or something. It's horrible. So I know that Conservative Nation Media is going to have the old-fashioned traditional Christmas music on. So that is going to be Christmas Eve. And I've been waiting, and I'm going to download it myself, and I'm going to keep it for years to come. Because I miss that old music. And I don't want to hear Mariah Carey. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the special personally. And then the other really cool thing is that have your kid email Santa Claus. There's a form there that you fill out, and they'll get an answer. You know, your kid will get an answer within 48 hours. Not necessarily true of other retailers and all these others that you can email. So I'm really looking forward to that special. And Christmas is coming. It's, a little over a week away. And, you know, people are busy this time of year, but you need to take a break on Christmas Eve, stop your shopping, and listen to some really, really good music. It's time really to stop shopping anyway. If you don't have what you're supposed to be getting by now, then forget it. You know, it's more about family. It's more about enjoying what we're supposed to be enjoying. So I would suggest that you listen to conservativenationmedia.com on Christmas Eve. Well, listen to it all the time, but Christmas Eve is going to be the music. And it's really the true oldies. And so I think a lot of that's going to remind me of when I was a kid. And yes, they did have radio when I was a kid. So I know that Latham and a few others are laughing at that, but I do remember some of those. So listen up to that. And like I said, next week, we did not tonight get to cover some of the stories that I wanted to cover. If you go to dailyrollcall.com, you will see a lot of the things that I write about. Some of those I did want to carry into the show tonight, but we did not have time. So next week we probably will pick up, and I'm sure, like Robert said, the news is full of stories for us to use. Again, though, mine tends to be more Muslim Brotherhood. So we'll keep an eye on this defamation of religion law for you, and you know, any new developments within Sharia law, and, of course, any stories involving the peaceful religion people that were going to blow themselves up at the airport today. So please stay tuned, and then, like I said, in January, we're going to get back into the mode of having guests. We do have some really good guests lined up. Some of the topics, again, are not the most comfortable to talk about. You know, female genitalia mutilation that is happening here in this country by this particular group of people, this religious group of people, is happening throughout this country in a crazy amount. And the hospitals are not reporting it, as is domestic violence isn't being reported. So we're going to be speaking, bringing in some really good guests, including a senator that's written some proposals and some legislation about that. And then, again, about Sharia finance, we're going to be talking a little bit more about textbooks and Common Core. Common Core is a problem, but we did not get to get into something that's happening in the schools now where it's open source textbooks. That's a new word. So we've got that to talk about. So there's a lot of things coming up that I think you're going to enjoy. So listen up for us next Friday. We'll be back here again at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And try not to do too much shopping. Don't stress yourself out for the last few days before Christmas. And we will see you back here next Friday on DailyRollCall.com at Conservative NationMedia.com. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week. God bless.